You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, I'm so excited.
So excited.
I really am. This is an awesome topic, and I can't wait to do expansions on this one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm thinking that, you know, I mean, this is, you know, just, you know, if you look at top three 70s, but we could realistically do like we did on 80s Reboot Overdrive with each year.
Oh, easily. 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 There's so many. I'm scrolling through the list of every movie from January 1st of 1970 to December 31st of 1979, and there are 30,000 plus titles on IMDb. And I ran through the first 300. I'm like, oh, that's a good one. Oh, that's a great one. You know, it was like constant. So there's so much to talk about. So why don't we get it?
We kind of just need to jump.
Let's get
right
some
in.
Introductions going.
First off, how you doing, Rose?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Scott is obviously spearing, and
okay, awesome. whiskey is standing by.
Okay,
it's right there.
Awesome. There you go. There's that sound I love.
And I'm angry orcharding.
You're angry orcharding. I'm watering, so I'm good. I gotta work tomorrow.
So. Well, there's no reason. That's no reason to like not be, you know, enjoying an adult beverage, though.
You know, yeah, you would think so, but I usually like to.
I have to work tomorrow too.
Weekend.
Oh, okay. So you wait for that kind of consumption on heading into the weekend when you don't have anything going on first thing in the morning. So,
right.
I see where you're at. I'm with you.
No, I don't recoil well after an evening night of beveraging. Mm-hmm. Used to be.
All right, I'm recording. That's working.
I'm excited. As much as I despise the 70s.
What? Bite your tongue.
I can't. I won't be able to talk, Scott.
I'm sorry. I love the 70s. I really do. Even it was, you know, a few years before, like, I really understood what the 70s were all about, but I've fallen in love with the 70s so much in the last 20 years.
So, are you guys all going your top three, or are there ones in here that are you just wanted to talk about and you might not like them? Like,
No.
Because
I saved that for the blog, which I still haven't done yet, sorry.
Okay, fair enough.
I've got the main movie of the 70s that I absolutely despised.
Oh,
okay, so that's a blog entry, okay.
I can't wait to read the blog now.
It's actually not going to be very long because I'm trying to be concise about it.
Oh.
I don't want to do like a rambling thing. So
I might have rambled a little, but mine was
that's okay.
Like, I was very negative in my review also.
Oh my god, that's the way I was going to go with mine too. That's awesome. Great minds.
Yes.
But yeah, the one that actually I posted today, I haven't sent any links out like via social media, but Jill's is up there now.
Mm.
Oh,
so she did a her review of Dirty Dancing.
Oh, that should be interesting.
Yeah, it's a good read. It's fun.
Cool.
All right, so let us do this thing.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR, pop and step. Push your bed when things get rough. HR, pop and step. Can't do a little cause you can't do enough.
This is Banzai Retro Club, and this is episode one. So this is our 70-something podcast. So we're going to be talking about all the great groovy stuff of the 1970s. So joining me, as always, is Rose.
Hey, y'all.
And Scott.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, I'm so excited. Oh man, this is going to be a good show. This is going to be fun. I'm going to have so much fun with this.
Give them room, people.
Yeah, stand back.
We need it.
And I don't think I mentioned it, but I'm Dave.
No, you didn't, Dave.
I did not. So I've got to remember to do that. I've got to get that in there before I throw it over to you guys to talk.
Yes.
But so this is episode one of our thing, Banzai Retro Club. It's becoming a actual thing now. We're actually moving forward with this. So for those that may have followed us, we did this 80s podcast before on another media group, and now we started our own thing. And this is we did an episode zero where it was Meet the Hosts, and now we're doing our first official episode. And being that our media group is going to be covering 70s, 80s, 90s, it makes sense for us to start with 1970s. So topic tonight is our top three movies that were made in the 1970s. And the way this normally works is we go round robin. Each one of us talks about our first pick, second pick, third pick. Or talks about our first pick, and then everybody has a chance to expand on their thoughts. And then, we go around, everybody get their first pick, and then moving on to second and third, and so on. And then all of a sudden we're done with the show. And so the problem that I have with this topic is that we talked about doing this top three thing, and I'm staring at a list of 12. So I don't know where this is going to go with me, but I'm Dude, covered I'm, if somebody's taking mine.
I'm totally on the same page.
I'll be crushed if either of you take any of mine, so just so you know.
Yeah, I got a couple obscure. There's probably a couple of obvious ones that will probably come up. Maybe not as our top three, but, it's some things that are just... They're so encompassing of what the movies were in the 70s. So, it's there's so much to talk about here. And I can't wait to do I really can't wait to do spinoffs on this. Like, I'm not going to say anything yet. We'll talk later. Let's move along.
There's nothing to see here. Let's move on.
Yes.
There's lots to see here. That's the problem. Too much.
And I think the problem that we've run into as we've done these kind of episodes before is that maybe we're too nice to each other and we don't pick like the big mama jama movie of of that year or whatever. It's almost as if we don't want to step on each other's toes, and then we end up going very obscure. So I'm going to challenge you both to for the first pick to just go big, go huge, go with the one that is the big blockbuster. I've got one in mind, and both of you are fools if you don't go for it. But I'll be around to clean it up if you don't, and I will ridicule Dave. You if you don't go this way. So that's the
I'm
setup.
Doing whatever the hell I want. That's how's that?
Come on, come on, Rose, play ball.
No,
play ball here.
No.
All right.
No.
So okay, well, so now that I know Rose isn't going to play ball, then we're going to go somewhere else. We're going to go Scott then.
Okay.
So Scott gets to go first.
You want big.
I want big.
And you're talking. You're not talking just one elephant in the room. You're talking about 10.
I'm
15, 20, you know.
20 elephants in the room.
Go obvious is what I'm saying.
Okay. Obvious.
Go obvious. And if you don't pick the one that I'm thinking of, then you're wrong. So go ahead.
And screen roll. A long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
No, that's not it.
That, dude, how does it get any bigger?
All right, well, go ahead. What you're talking about? Come on, we all know what you're talking about, but that's not the one I'm thinking of.
Oh,
how does it not get any bigger than Star Wars? Seriously,
you have to wait for my turn now, unless Rose takes it, but she's not playing ball, so
this is. Oh yeah, this is gonna be good because I cannot think of anything that was more of an impact, not just in the late 70s. But throughout all of our adulthood and what it's become today than Star Wars.
So some farm boy learns the Force, big deal, whoop. Yeah, big deal. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I don't even have to go into, like, everybody knows this movie so well. Everybody's seen it so many times. However, my wife Chrissy did not see it until 1996.
What?
Yes, she never saw the movie until 1996.
Yeah. I've got a similar story for my wife. And
when we were invited to a friend's house, me and my buddy Jim were huge Star Wars fans back when we were back in fourth, fifth, sixth grade, you know, all throughout it would have been like fifth grade, I think. And so he and I were really big into the Star Wars toys and action figures and all that stuff. And so he, you know, we ended up, you know, as growing up and became adults and we got married. Well, his wife was a huge Star Wars fan too. And one year they had a New Year's Eve party and they did this was way before 1, 2, and 3 came out. You know, this was 4, 5, and 6, the trilogy, the original trilogy. And they had a New Year's Eve party and we just binged Star Wars for the night. And that was the first time that my wife ever saw Star Wars.
Wow. Yeah. Lord bless her.
What did she think?
You know that saying, timing is everything.
Ah, so the movie was kind of dated by then.
It was dated, and as much as she totally appreciates my love for the movie, she buys me Star Wars gifts. You know, like one year, just a couple of years ago, she bought me the Millennium Falcon, like a good size toy Millennium Falcon. And it came with Han Solo and Chewbacca and, you know, And so she was just, she understands my love for it, but it never connected with her in the way that it did with me because, you know, we were young kids that were experiencing it when it first came out, you know. And it's just totally different when you're in your 20s versus in your, you know, 10 or 11 years old. Let's see, 1977, I would have been 9 years old. That's perfect. I mean, that's exactly the demographic they're probably shooting for.
Okay.
You know, to influence all the future generations of Star Wars fans. It's crazy. It's something that really had a huge impact, and I still love it to this day. I wear Star Wars shirts all the time. I have probably 5 good Star Wars shirts hanging in my closet right now.
Yeah, actually, Father's Day gift I just got this last year was a Star Wars shirt. So I'm with you.
I want before I move down to Florida, I, you know, my one of my Jeeps, it got wrecked and it was blue. And then I got a silver one. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, silver. And I was looking into getting personalized license plates. Mm. Okay, ready? Ready? Dork alert. Yes. Star Wars geek alert. Ready? I looked up and I was going to get, before we moved, the letters MLMFLCN for my license plate. It would have been Millennium Falcon. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And here I am in my mid-40s looking at this going, oh, I could have that license plate. That is so awesome. And now, you know, a lot of the Jeeps that are out there, they actually have Stormtrooper Jeep edition.
Wow.
On the Wranglers. Yeah, you'll see them out there. They have special decals and stuff. It's all Stormtroopers. It's white with black, you know, black and white stuff. It's a white Jeep with a lot of very Star Wars looking. It's very cool.
It's Star Wars bling.
Yes, it is. Yes. So there you go. 1977 Star Wars. Biggest blockbuster in the 70s.
Okay. So, Rose, what do you got to say about Star Wars?
I think I've told this story before. I went to the theater. I was living with my mom. It was the summer of 78, actually, is when I saw it. I was getting ready to join the military. I had, like, a couple weeks before I started boot camp. And I was visiting my mom, and she ran into an old friend, and she sent me to the movies so they could reacquaint themselves, I suppose, wink, wink. And I kind of knew what that meant. I mean, I did live a sheltered life, mind you, but I wasn't sure if it took 2 hours, but apparently it didn't. I was to find out later in life. But I remember sitting in the theater, and I'm watching this, and it's just like all natural too. No popcorn, no soda. My mom didn't spring for any of that. Here's a movie ticket. Go to the movies. Get lost. So I did it. So because I thought the ending, and hope to God somebody out there in the real world has seen this movie. If I say how the ending goes, it's not going to be like a spoiler alert for anybody, but it may be because you're like six or something. But I saw the ending. We all know what happens at the end. I was so fascinated. I literally sat there in the theater, watched the people, the ushers clean up around me, and I sat through another showing of it. Did wow. I pay the money? No, I did not.
Did you care?
No, I did not. I wanted to see that happen again.
Yeah.
So 4 hours later, I go home, and my mom's like, where the hell have you been? I'm like, I went to the movies. I only gave you enough money to see one movie. I'm like, I sat through it twice. You know you have to pay money to actually do that. I'm like, they didn't seem to care. What movie did you see? Star Wars. Did you like it? And I explained to her what happened at the end, and she's like, yeah, it doesn't sound like anything I'd be interested in. Okay. So I'm glad I actually went and saw it by myself then, because she would have, like, talked through the whole thing. Why are they doing that? What's up with their hair? What are we doing? What's with this? And blah, blah, blah. And who's the guy with the mask? And blah. And I'm just like, oh, mercy. But yeah. So that added to best list of movies in my young life in the 70s. So, and to this day, and especially when they did the enhancement, when they did, you know, back in the, yeah, in the 90s, when they what do you call it when they do something that makes it better?
Yeah, they, yeah.
They remastered
it, yeah.
And they added more special effects.
I know. And then when that scene happens at the end, I'm like, fuck, yes, that looks even better than the first time I saw it. Yeah.
The big sideways ring that goes out from the
Star Trek is awesome. No, Star Wars is awesome.
Star Trek.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you're such a huge Star Wars fan, too. I mean, that's awesome. Because you hear, you know, it can be mixed reviews. Some people are like, meh, whatever. But then others, the people that liked it in the first place, they truly, like, really liked the movie, you know? And, yeah, it's great. You had a that's a great experience.
I'm going to take a picture of this and send it to you guys. But in my closet right now, I have a small, like a half shot. Well, it's Darth Vader. And he's like a nightlight. And he looks, so he's about 2-5 inches tall, maybe. Got red eyes. And you plug him in, and he looks freaky as hell. But I bought that from my son at his yard sale like 10 years ago for like $6. And that was one of the last things that I moved in the old house when I moved here. And it's been sitting in the closet ever since. And every day I wake up and I look at him, and I'm looking at him right now. So what can I say?
He's not plugged in, though. Awesome. He's just...
No, darling, no.
I was like, how not creepy crazy. It is. You open up the closet door, and there's Darth Vader. I was like, ah.
It's like, yo, DV, what's up?
No, you go and get the jacket. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. I don't roll it.
Yeah, this is a solid pick. New Hope. So many great things came out of that. And as a child of the 70s, it was one of those things that appealed to so many. It had so many great check marks, that appealed to pretty much everybody. You had the droids that were comical, mm-hmm. And then you got the funny lines where it was like, let the Wookiee win. Mm-hmm. And these things are memorable to this day, and, you don't forget that stuff. The trash compactor scene, mm-hmm. You say stuff like that, and all of a sudden you just, you transcend back to that movie and those scenes. And there was nothing wrong with this movie. It's a great movie. Great pick.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like the sound of the first time you hear that lightsaber light up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
it's such an awesome experience, the whole thing. And it came out at the perfect time for me, and probably Dave, and it sounds like it came out for the perfect time for you too, Rose. And that's exciting.
And Darth Vader, what a great evil guy.
Oh yeah.
You couldn't have gotten the best. Yeah. You couldn't have gotten
one of the best evil guys of all time. Yeah.
Did you guys see Rogue One?
Yes. I have. And actually it's on Netflix
now. Did you applaud when you heard Darth Vader talk? I did. When I heard that voice, and I saw him, and it was like James Earl Jones, Darth Vader, and I was like, yes! Yes! It sounds just like he did back in the day. So.
I hope they can duplicate that.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Yeah.
Nobody's seen Rogue One.
I would assume that they have. I mean, come on. It's on Netflix
now. Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I liked it, too. We just saw it last week. It was awesome.
Oh, really? Saw it last week?
Yeah.
For the first time. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, I watched it with Richard, actually. I watched it with my husband.
Cool.
Yeah. He's a huge Star Wars fan. As a matter of fact, when I was telling him we're doing the top three 70s, he's like, rattling off three, just like boom, boom, boom. I'm like, I'm not picking those. He goes, no, those are my picks.
Are you going to be throwing those in at the end?
I will.
Because I definitely want to throw Chrissy's in. She came up with a... Dude, she's got a very special one. I can't wait to. Yeah, very special. So anyway, we should move on to the next pick.
Yeah, we got. Probably. Yeah.
I think we covered Star Wars enough.
I think so. So Rose, what is your first pick? And remember, we're looking for big, grandeur, on the nose. So Scott missed it by a little bit, so I want to see what you do.
You are so no.
I'm not playing ball.
I can't believe. I cannot believe you think that.
Totally don't get it.
There's a movie that's bigger.
I'm a lone wolf. I'm sorry.
If you're talking box office, then, you know, whatever, but...
whatever. Come on, Rose. What do you got? Wow us.
I ain't saying it. I got two in mind, but I ain't saying it. Anyway, I'm saying what I want to say. Okay, because 1978 was a very, very good year for me. I learned a lot of stuff about myself, a lot of stuff about other people, and I graduated from high school in 1978. And that was the height of the disco era.
Oh.
And I was going to be the dancing queen out on the floor at my high school prom as our whatever. Can't even remember the name of the band.
No, wait. Xanadu didn't what? Come out in 1978.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Go ahead.
But Saturday Night Fever did.
Actually, it came out in 1977.
Oh, well, 77, 78.
But it was still in the theaters.
It was still in the theater because it was a big freaking deal.
Come on. You just said you did not have a huge show. This was not a big thing. It's huge.
It depends on who you're talking to.
No, this is a huge, huge movie. It's a great movie.
When you think 70s, Saturday Night Fever comes up, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it's John Travolta. And if anybody followed John Travolta in Welcome Back, Kotter as being one of the sweat hogs, and then you see him on the big screen as this massive, you know, guy with his huge ego, and all he ever thinks about is himself and his hair, and he wants the best girl for a dancer. He kicks his regular dancing partner to the curb and gets this other chick that looks better, and people are like trying to kill themselves to be his friend. I mean, it was massive. It was the dancing that I was there for. The backstory, yeah, it was okay. I liked it when his grandma smacked him in the head. But
was the best. The dinner scene.
Hey, watch the head.
Watch the head. Come on, watch the head.
Sit in the cell. Got your hair up. But grandma probably wouldn't have said that. Anyway, but yeah. So that was a big deal to me. Because, you know, I loved to dance then. I still do, but I'm not nearly as good. And disco was just like, whoa, people are like dancing together and doing stuff that looks impressive. And, you know, I was impressionable, 18, you know, I wanted to do that. So I actually told my friend, I will buy you a ticket to the prom. He was not a senior, he was a junior. I says, and you and I are going to practice to the entire soundtrack of Saturday Night Fever.
Nice.
Until we get, you know, my one dance that I wanted was, it wasn't More Than a Woman, it was Night Fever.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to replicate that dance that they did. Did I? No. But that's okay. I tried. You know, I have to realize that I wasn't just dancing by myself. I was dancing with another person. He wasn't really that interested in disco. Poor kid. He's probably scarred for life, but that's all right. Still, great movie.
And even to this day, just doing the point thing, you know, where you point to the air, yeah, that still plays well at the dance floor.
So it does.
You can get away with that. To any song. So, you know, even like, you know,
with every song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. I mean, even, you know, Hanson's Mbop, that plays.
A little slower.
Okay.
Yeah, but you still do it.
Yeah, a little slower, but, you know, it's just like every country song, you can get in a yeehaw. So any, you know, rock song, you know, the point, you know, John Travolta's point plays.
It does.
It does.
On so many levels. You know, I feel bad that his his brother. I know you respected his brother a lot, and you know, his dad or his mom or somebody wanted him to be a priest, and he was studying to be a priest, and then he was like, nah, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of being holy. I want to go out and hang out with regular people. And I was like, oh, man.
That was really an interesting backstory, though. Like, our side story. I thought it, I always found that that part of it kind of fascinating. Dave, what's your take on this movie?
Yeah.
You know, I was, as Rose is going on, I was remembering the long sequence that he had when he was, like, getting ready to go dance. And just the pretty boy image. And I was thinking to myself, my God, that was the reason when we talked before about Tom Cruise, I was bashing Tom for that very reason. And, you know, but for some reason, Travolta can pull it off.
Yeah.
You know, he's got, I don't know, just... For me, the acting chops to, you know, I don't know, pull off that, you know, the, you know, I'm full of myself kind of pretty guy, you know, kind of look. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got kind of this, you know, the New Yorker kind of, you know, I don't
attitude.
Know. Attitude. Thank you.
Yeah, that attitude.
To kind of pull it off.
Yep.
And it's, he sells it. You know, and that's what I've respected about the guy, you know, throughout his acting career. And this was, you know, at the beginning of it, but, you know, that was his, you know, he was able to, you know, take this movie and just run with it.
Yeah. And so, it was a catalyst.
For me, it was Travolta. That, I mean, that's really what I remember most about it, other than, you know, the cheesy clothes, you know, being, you know, it was a 70s staple. You looked at that and that movie reeked of 70s fashion.
The lapels the collar lengths were insane. I mean, like a good 6, 7, 8 inches, you know, down the shoulder, down all the way down to the
put
shoulder.
Put somebody's eye out with those things.
If you were looking for a way to showcase disco, I mean, this movie's it.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Just the soundtrack alone.
God. So, real quick, this was would have been Chrissy's in her top three, she said, but she never really saw it until later in life. But just for the soundtrack, qualifies it as one of the best of the 70s. And I agree. I love the Bee Gees have become. I've watched several videos, you know, DVDs of their concerts in their later years, and some documentaries that were on Netflix, and they're a really amazing group. I always think back to the opening scene of this movie of John Travolta like grooving down the street with two cans of paint in his hand.
Yeah.
I'm like, who else could pull that off? Like, really?
Doesn't he stop and look at some shoes?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just like the craziest opening of a movie where he's like, he's just grooving down the street, going to the music, and the Bee Gees are playing, and he's got these the cans, man. These he's carrying these paint cans, and he's just going to work. And it was it's such a trip, but. Great, great pick, Rose. This is and yes, hello. You picked a blockbuster. Come on. You said you weren't going to play along.
I was thinking I had two like other things. I don't know. Whoever knows what
mine are, my other two are going off the deep end for obscurity.
Yeah, there you go.
Dave.
And that's exactly it. I think everybody.
Buddy.
Yeah, you know, we all try to play nice, and we don't want to step on each other's, you know, toes, and you know, and I did ask you guys to go big,
especially
and
dancing.
And you guys tried to step up, but you just didn't. You missed the mark.
Oh, dude, don't even.
You missed the mark.
I'm seriously gonna hurt him.
I'm slightly disappointed, but I'll pick up the ball. And run with it.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we're going 1977. You know, Helen Reddy, Jim Dale, Mickey Rooney, Red Buttons, Shelley Winters, all starred in a movie called Pete's Dragon.
Oh, dude.
No, okay, all right, I'm kidding.
No, they don't. Come on, no, this is good, dude. Kidding. I'm serious. Pete's Dragon was an awesome movie.
No. I'm kidding. Is that being my lead-in? But okay. We'll come back to Pete. But honestly, the one that was, the pinnacle is what we let off with, Star Wars. So I was just giving you guys some hell. So
okay.
Thanks.
And then I had to give it with Pete's Dragon just because I figured that was fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my first movie, and I don't know if it was a blockbuster in the '70s, and I didn't appreciate it until much later in life. Because for some reason it just, that genre of the movie I'm going to mention wasn't in my wheelhouse in the '70s. Mm-hmm. I was a young kid. And somewhere along the way of maybe late 80s, I developed an appreciation for this movie called Enter the Dragon.
You are dead to me.
Why?
Wow. You took one of her movies.
Bruce Lee is just absolutely amazing. In this movie.
It's a great... Oh, man.
And
it's a good pick, dude.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, I don't know what it did, like, box office-wise, and I don't know if it was, like, acclaimed, as, when it was released. Like I said, it wasn't on my radar. I didn't discover liking this kind of thing until much later in life. But once I've discovered it, I'm like... Where have I been? Why did I miss this boat? This is just absolute awesomeness all the way through. John Saxon, Jim Kelly, mm-hmm. This movie was just completely awesomeness, and Bruce is like so physically fit and just so able to do so much. He's amazing. He's amazing just what he's able to train his body to do. And just for this to be in the arsenal of, what he was able to accomplish, and the wrap up of the story of the movie where he's kind of this secret agent guy, but he gets, into this martial arts tournament. And just the huge backstory, and then the evil guy, Han. I absolutely love this movie end to end. Just the side characters, Roper, Williams. Each of those characters had such great development also that you were, you appreciated them too. It wasn't just Bruce Lee and some other people. It was essentially, the trio of those guys and Han, that just were a formidable force in this whole movie. So absolutely loved it. I can't say a bad thing about it. So
that's good.
So Enter the Dragon, that was something that you liked then, Rose.
Yeah. I still to this day, I own the movie on VHS. That movie was the first. Okay, so I got to correct you. It was 1973.
Mm-hmm. What did I say?
77.
Oh, okay. I think I was still looking at Pete's Dragon, but you're right, 73.
Okay. So that was the first movie that I ever saw on cable. They had this little thing called cable back in the day, and you had like HBO, and I think that was it. And they ran like 5 movies 24/7. You didn't get a chance to see a whole lot of, but these movies were in the theater. And then, of course, like a year or two later, whatever, however long it took them, then they finally put it on cable. And you had to pay money. I'm talking to these kids out here that think Netflix is the shit. Cable was the shit. Okay, because you got to watch real movies. You could turn your TV on and watch, a special box and attached to your TV, and you got to watch real movies.
With the clicker that had like 15 buttons, and you had different rows where you'd pick the first row and it'd be 1 through 15, second row would be like 16 through 30, and so on. Is that how you had it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, yeah.
So, very first movie I ever watched on cable. And truthfully, at that time I was staying with my cousin. This is 1978. Okay. Again. And I'm watching this movie. And I love Bruce Lee anyway, for since he passed away in 76. So it was kind of like a very poignant time. I had this huge poster of him, these nunchucks, when I was like, you know, about a year after, maybe 6 months after he passed away, and I found it in a store, and I hung it up in my room. And my grandmother at the time was like, who the hell is that? I'm like, it's Bruce Lee. He's in martial arts. She's like, okay, why isn't he wearing a shirt? I'm like, because he doesn't have to. Bruce Lee. He looks dangerous. Like, well, he was dangerous. So I'm watching him in this movie, and there is absolutely nothing about it that I don't like. I love all of it. And there's this one part, however, in particular, just goes to show you have like these little things inside of you that you don't know are there, like these little, you know, quirks about you. When he's fighting with Bolo, and Bolo had actually fought first with somebody, I can't remember. Whatever it is he did, he pissed Bruce Lee off. And so when it came his turn to fight, he was fighting, you know, to the death for real. And he takes him down, and he jumps up in the air, and I know you've seen this, Dave. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
Both legs up, and you could see it. Because they do it in slow motion, he comes down on his neck, and he has that look of sheer rage on his face as you hear him snap his neck. That was like, I have to watch that again. That was freaking awesome. I probably watched that movie about 15 times. During the time that I lived with my cousin, it was at least every day, if not twice a day, for quite a while.
Yeah, and that movie doesn't get old.
It doesn't.
If you're cruising channels and that bad boy's on, that's you've got to stop.
Oh. You
just have to.
Yeah.
It's like required by law or something. I don't know. I'm sure there's a law somewhere.
Yeah. And then, you know, he went on to do, you know, quite a few other ones. But to me, this was his crowning glory.
Yeah.
Even with Game of Death, you know, with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, which was like the last movie he made. But it's a masterpiece. So thank you for picking that for both of us. I mean, because I couldn't say enough things about it.
And Robert Wall was even another good, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, another good fighter in there.
Just yes.
Evil. Yeah. Evilness. Evilness in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott, so where are you at with Enter the Dragon?
Okay, so I probably haven't seen this in maybe 35 years. Okay. So I don't remember. I remember Bruce Lee and a lot of his movies, and they all kind of, at this point in my life, they all kind of blend together of him just being amazing to watch. I mean, amazing. And you see sometimes they have YouTube videos of a lot of his clips where they have taken some of his best moves or whatever you want to call them and put them all together in a compilation. And it's just like jaw-dropping to watch how incredibly precise he was.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I honestly, Dave, you had me going for a second. I was really excited about talking about the little town of Passamaquoddy. Peach Dragon, because I loved that movie when I was a kid. I loved watching that movie. I swear, I'm not kidding. You said when you started talking about Peach Dragon, I was excited, but this is great too. This is good. This also another dragon movie.
Yeah, another dragon.
Yes,
movie,
it's
yeah.
also it also has dragon in the name, so I'm good with that. But I honestly I don't remember like certain parts of Enter the Dragon, but I remember watching these Bruce Lee movies when I was younger, probably between 7th and 11th grade, with a buddy of mine who was really into that scene, you know, that whole that film scene. And so we, you know, we watched them, and but I honestly I don't remember how they go or plot lines or who else was in them. But Bruce Lee's amazing to watch. He's incredible. Mm. He's been the inspiration for millions and millions of people to go into the martial arts field. You know, just to study martial arts.
Yes.
So it's a good pick, Dave.
I was remembering another scene that actually didn't have Bruce in it. This is a Jim Kelly scene, and I'm sure Rose, you can remember this. But they were, it was after the big feast that they had, and they're all back in their rooms, and the lady that's the madam of Han's, you know,
concubine.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, she comes in and she's got like a, you know, a lineup of women that come into the rooms, and the fighters get to pick, you know, a lady to spend the night with. And Jim Kelly, you know, he's like, oh, for me? And so then he starts picking like, I think it ended up being 6 or 7 girls. And then he says a line something like, well, you know, I'm sorry, ladies, that I didn't get to the rest of you, but I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
I'm like, you go, boy.
Yeah. You just call him your bad self. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yep. Good scene. All right, so we're going around the horn again. So, Scott, you're on for your second pick.
Okay, so when you start talking about Pete's Dragon, you were mentioning some of the cast, right?
Yes.
And you said Red Buttons, you said Shelley Winters, and I'm like, you better not be taking one of my movies.
Oh wow!
Which one are you thinking?
I am going with one of the movies. I watched this over and over on VHS. I love this movie. I don't know why. It was just very fascinating. Gene Hackman. Shelley Winters. Ernie Borgnine.
Yes.
We're talking about all-star cast. Roddy McDowell.
Yeah.
And Grandpa from Willy Wonka, Jack Albertson.
Oh, love Jack Albertson.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about yet? Can you guess? Poseidon Adventure. Absolutely. Yeah. One of my all-time favorite movies from that era. And I love that movie. And when they did the remake a few, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I thought it was terribly disappointing. Because they just couldn't do it the way that they did it with Gene Hackman and the rest of the crew. I've watched that movie over and over again. I just thought it was so fascinating to see this big wave, you know, take this cruise liner and just flip it upside down, and then they had to get out. It's just really I don't know why it grabbed my interest. I mean, it's scary as hell to think about something like that. But what a great, great movie. So it's a little more on the obscure side, but it was still very popular.
Yeah. Definitely.
So that's it. That's my pick. My number two pick.
And I've got to go on record to say I have never seen it.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa!
That's okay. It's understandable. I understand.
I mean, is it to the point of where I say that I've never seen The Great Outdoors? Where it was like... Or is this just
No.
Okay.
No, I understand. Okay. I get it that you've never seen it. it's just, it's really a good movie, though. I mean, like, there's a bunch of movies in the 70s, and this is something that I'd love to take a little spin off on down the road, is the disaster movies of the 70s.
Thank you. I was searching for that term. You know, you had Howling Inferno and Adventure.
Earthquake. I mean, there's
earthquake.
So many.
Oh, my God. Everything was happening to everybody, and it was like these massive, huge casts of people.
Oh, these casts were unbelievable. They must have paid out the nose to make these movies just for the cast alone. Yeah. So anyway, Poseidon Adventure. Dave, I know if you've never seen it, it would be – I would love to hear your take on it. I don't own it on DVD or anything, so you have to pay for it. Hmm?
Does it work? Like, I mean, watching – I mean, it's 2017, and watching a early 70s movie, would it still work? Would it still be enjoyable?
Yeah. Actually, yeah. It could still happen.
Yes, okay. And it could still happen. And it, even with cellular technology and cell phones and all that, maybe the radar might be more advanced for detecting waves, but tsunamis or whatever you want to call them. But still, it very well could happen.
Is there anybody during the course of the movie, do they go to the front and say, I'm the king of the world?
No.
Okay.
Right. God, no.
And I promise you will not hear Celine Dion sing. However, you may hear Karen Carpenter sing at the end of the movie.
What is Karen Carpenter?
Is it Carpenter? No, wait. It might not be Karen Carpenter.
Maureen McGovern.
Thank you.
There's got to be a morning after.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That sounded so beautiful up until Scott started singing. Did I say that loud? I didn't mean that.
You did, you meanhead.
No, that's okay. It's okay.
Filter got off somehow. I'm sorry.
I only do Johnny Cash in karaoke, so.
Ring of Fire?
Oh, yeah, I can do Ring of Fire. Uh-huh. I like my favorite is Folsom Prison Blues, but, you know, I can
do. Oh, yeah. That's my favorite, too. I like it when he sings it at San Quentin.
Oh, yeah.
Live.
Yeah.
And when he gets to the part where he shot a man in Reno just to watch him die, and the audience just erupts with, yes! Okay, this is why you all are in prison. All right, yeah. Just stay where you are.
So, you know, if you could find it, like, on YouTube or something.
Yeah, let's do the monetary thing. If you could find it on Amazon.
I'd pay a few bucks for it. You know, I mean, it's typical to find it on Amazon for about $3. And, I would watch it. I would definitely watch it again. In fact.
Just for the cast, just to see everybody in there.
Shelley. Winters, Red so Bucks. Much fun.
So it's a $3 movie is what you're saying.
It's a $3 movie.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
You know, if you're at the lake house when you get it, you know, cleaned up, and I'm sorry to hear that you guys had so many floods up there. That was I hope it's not as severe as some other people have had. But you know, when you have a few minutes alone, and you know, what is it? How long is it? I don't know how long it is.
Hour 57 I can't minutes.
So it's almost 2 hours. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sit down for a couple hours. I got. Oh, that's the wrong one. That's the 2006 version I'm looking at. Don't do that one, dude.
Yeah, and funny, it actually is the. It was released the day after my birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So sweet. It released December 13th. I'm December 12th. So that's really kind of cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, I love that movie. So.
All right, so Rose, your second pick.
Yeah. You know, since somebody stole my second pick, I'm trying.
You're going to Enter the Dragon?
Determine. Yeah, it's too late.
It's too late. You can't go backwards.
Don't try and make up now. It's too late.
Go ahead, take Pete's Dragon. You know you want to.
Don't make me. Don't make me pick. There's so many amazing movies of the 70s. And I was really starting to get into my own with movie watching as a preteen teenager. You know, it was a really good way to get rid of me as a kid. Here's $2. Go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Especially sure. if somebody no wanted problem. To get a little bounce cha bow bow going on.
Well, that was my mom. My grandmother used to send me to the movies, too. And I don't even want to think
well,
about it.
You don't know. She could have been going bounce cha bow bow. We don't talk about that. Yeah, we don't talk about meemaws like that.
No, we do not. Thank you very much. So, I'm looking at, you know, because I've got, you know, Google up and I'm looking, you know, and I'm looking at each of these movies going, I saw that, didn't see that till later, saw that, meh, saw that. You know, I'm trying to think, in the movie theater, which movie had the most impact on me when I saw it for the first time? And I was honestly going to go with The Exorcist.
Ooh.
But seeing how I couldn't watch it ever again in life after I saw it the first time, I decided to pick Jaws.
Oh.
I good saw Jaws. Heck.
It's not a blockbuster at all either. I don't know. No, yeah, this is very obscure.
It was like a hit and a miss with that one. But
what's this Jaws you speak of?
It was like was it a whale? A stingray?
Something, fish.
Yeah, something you know, to do with tilapia, I think.
I don't care how cheesy that shark looked. That scared the crap out of me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There was a lot of people that avoided going to beaches or even taking a bath after that movie.
Yeah. Just like people refuse to take a shower after Psycho. You know, it was just like, what? You get killed in your shower? My God. So I went and saw Jaws, and they didn't have a whole lot of, you could see the previews from movies for movies, you know, it was a little bit the same, but you really didn't get that impact that they have now within a world where, you know, fish swim and eat people. You know, you don't have the really over the top exposure that you have now with trailers like everywhere. So if you saw Jaws as a trailer, it didn't really show you a whole lot on TV. But if you saw it in the movie theater, you know, you got a little bit more. And actually, that was like, oh, I got to see that. That looks awesome. So I get to the movies and I'm by myself. I don't think I went and saw it with anybody. And the first thing that puts me off right away is these two yokels are running on the beach and she's taking her clothes off. And she's running, because my mom used to take us to the drive-in when we were younger, and we sat through like 3 movies, and the third movie was always one of these Italian spaghetti, whatever you call them, things with women that either had Christopher Lee in it, or somebody like that, that was like killing him and biting him, and he was Dracula or something. I don't know. And they're always taking their tops off, and I'm just like, oh, for heaven's sakes, put your clothes on, lady.
There's nothing wrong with a movie like that. Anyway, go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, no, of course not. So I'm thinking, oh, wonderful, it's one of these. You know, until she gets out there and you hear the music, and I'm like, ooh, this sounds spooky. And then she goes under, and it's like, oh, well, what happened? What? Yay, the shark's eating her! Yay! So, you know, and then it's like the next day, and then the guy couldn't find her, and it was like the next day, and they found like bits of her in the beach. I'm sure whoever with her parents or whatever were like distraught and heartbroken. But so then it just all started. You know, it's just like you gotta close the beaches And the sheriff's like, okay, well, I'm new here, and I don't know anything about your little town, but if this is a big thing, then you got to close the beaches. And the mayor's like, uh-uh, you ain't doing it. This is our bread and butter. And, of course, you know, homeboy shows up that knows everything about the ocean. And he was actually really good. I really liked Richard Dreyfuss in this movie because he was just like, he's a smart ass and he's intelligent and he knows what he's talking about. And the fact that he, you know, takes the, cause you know, SNL did an amazing take on that one when he has like takes the cloth off of the basket that the was like something's in and you don't know what it is and he almost pukes, you know, because they did that like five times, you know. I can't remember who was doing. I think it was John Belushi did the part that Richard Dreyfuss did, you know, and he's like there was a head, there was a hand, there was like a finger. I don't know. It was weird. But, you know, just that whole movie, now we're going to go get the shark, and now we're going to go, and we're the big guys, we're humans, we can take this guy out. And then you see the shark, and it's like, oh, hell no. Yeah, you're going to need a bigger boat, you're going to need a cannon, you know, you're going to need the army. It's ain't going down without a fight. So, yeah, I've seen that. I probably watch it every year. I watch that movie probably once a year because of the impact that it. I do. Wow. It's an amazing.
It's got one of the most classic lines of all time. I mean, we're going to need a bigger boat. That's yep. I've classic. Said that occasionally going out on the boat when we go, you know, we go out with our friends on the boats and, mm-hmm. you know, occasionally when there's maybe a little bit of rough weather or something, or we're, you know, looking to go fishing, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it comes up.
And you laugh it off and hope to God you really don't. So.
Yes. So.
My favorite scene in the movie is when they're comparing scars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was good.
That's, yeah. I love that movie. The two movies that you picked so far have two of the best opening scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Of like. Yeah. Movie history, really. That opening scene in Jaws grabs mm-hmm. you, and just it grabs your attention, and you cannot let go until the ride is over. Like, really, okay. It's really, and the way they did it with not showing really what was going on, you know, I mean, that's like the intense part, you know, the fear of the unknown. Like, what the hell is this? What is going on around? Of course, you know you're going to see a shark movie, so they kind of know, but you realize what is really happening when she's just being thrown around in the water like you wouldn't believe, and then it just keeps building.
Like a speedboat was underwater and it had her foot.
Oh yeah,
because that's how
it's
fast
incredible.
It's stupid. Yeah, it's intense. It's really intense.
Smile, you son of a bitch. Another great line from that one. Yeah.
So I've got to ask you guys.
To go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. I had a little drink about an hour ago and it went straight to my head.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Don't you dare apologize.
And that is not the whiskey talking. That is the movie.
There you go.
That is the love of the movie.
Saying something, Dave. What were you saying, Dave?
The iconic bad guy music. Which one is more iconic to you? Or from Star Wars, The Empire March. So if you had to pick one between those two,
what's more intense?
Oh,
Jaws by far.
Yeah, because they start out slow.
It you know, just builds up to this crescendo of just fear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas and you hear the Empire March is just throughout. It's dread throughout, but you have a
underwater
build up of Jaws.
Who does that? Who can scream underwater and still be heard? Crazy. They did that. You could still hear her screaming. Fucking amazing. I love it.
Great pick, Rose.
Thank you!
And I, you know, when I was scrolling through all these movies of the 70s, I'm like, well, Jaws... That popped out at me, and you know, there's several others that definitely jumped out at me, but Jaws definitely a great movie in the 70s, and I think a lot of people would agree with us. on that one. Yeah. So, Dave, what's your next pick?
Yeah, Dave.
And even if we win.
Is this a blockbuster?
Even if we win. Ha! Even if we win, even if we play so far above our heads that our noses bleed for a week to 10 days, even if God in heaven above comes down and points his hand at our side of the field, even if every man, woman, and child held hands together and prayed for us to win, it just wouldn't matter.
It just doesn't matter.
All the really good-looking girls would still go out with the guys from Mohawk because they got all the money. It just doesn't matter if we win or we lose. It just doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter.
So, Meatballs, 1979.
Done. That was excellent.
Very well spoken, Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's almost as if I wrote it. Quote those things.
It almost.
Oh, Bill Murray, classic. Classic speech by him in that movie. And he was just fabulous throughout. You know, and the funny thing is, you know, it was 1979, so I'm probably 8 years old when I'm watching this thing. And there are so many sexual tones going on in this movie that I probably shouldn't have seen it. Yeah. But I'm so glad that I did get to see it because I just loved, just loved the hijinks. You know, it was, it's like Caddyshack at summer camp. You know, but I think what, this was first though, right? Yeah. So,
and congratulations to our winner of the Guess That Meat contest. Some Kind of Beef. Little things like that in that movie cracked me up. There's so many little things. Rudy was great. He, from the Bodyguard.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Very good. This was on my list, dude.
Oh, was this on? Did I steal yours too?
No, you didn't actually steal one of my top three. It was in my honorable mentions. If somebody had taken one of my other ones, it would have been bumped up. So,
okay.
Very close. Very close.
Awesome. I'm picking off people's lists shortly here. So,
Spaz. the basketball game. Spaz. Oh, that's great.
And then they pulled everybody's shorts down. Yeah. It was.
Oh yeah.
All right, we're never going to beat these guys.
It's all right. Lose. It's okay. We're going to beat them anyway.
But we can lose with a little dignity.
Yeah.
And then every time they did something to Morty, where he'd like wake up somewhere else, just, you know, and, you know, they're around the campfire. He starts telling the horror story about the guy with the hook.
It's just
good stuff. Good stuff all around with this movie.
It's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun. And, I mean, who didn't want to go to a camp like that when you're that age? Like, if I go to camp, that would be the camp I'd want to go to. With Bill Murray running it, of course.
It has to have Bill.
As a counselor, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's fun stuff.
We are the CIT, so piteous.
Oh, my gosh.
The kids are brats, the food is hideous. Come on, you guys don't know the words here?
I do not remember that. I remember hearing the song, but I do not remember the words.
Oh.
I saw the movie.
You saw the movie when?
One time. I believe I rented it on VHS.
Yeah, I wore my VHS out.
And I only saw it the one time.
Yeah.
Well, only the one. Now, how come you didn't revisit this?
It just didn't interest me.
It didn't. Okay. All right. I guess.
I could see why. It's kind of a, you know, a guy's kid movie. You know, young teen guy's movie.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, that would be the demographic.
All right. Well, let me ask you this then, Rose.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen Porky's?
Once.
Okay. Do you like watching Gladiator movies? Sorry. I said that out loud.
Okay. You ever been in a men's locker room?
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. Well, then.
Probably.
All right. Well, then that kind of tells us where, you know, where this is going to fall. If you're, you know, Meatballs only once, Porky's only once. So, yeah, it's kind of one of those type movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun, too. I love that movie, Dave.
You guys are reliving it. You're making me laugh as you relive it.
Caddyshack.
Oh, yeah.
How many times did you see Caddyshack?
I saw Caddyshack. Oh, about 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
Animal House. Come on.
Twice.
Wow.
Maybe. I might have seen Animal House more. Only because it's just so much going on. And it has that excellent scene in there where they're having the toga party. And...
how many scenes just went through my head when you said that excellent scene?
I was like,
where's she gonna go with it?
What?
And then they do the shout song, and then they later on they go into town and they see them up on stage, and they're like totally dissed them, you know, and they're sitting in the
cast.
I know.
You know, you make me want to shout. Great song.
So that part, that was actually, to me, that was funny. I like that one.
Okay. All right, so Meatballs. Scott, we actually kind of geeked on it for a while there.
Oh, yeah. So I'm good.
Yep, we're good with Meatballs. So we're going around the horn again. This is third pick. So we're making it towards the end here, and we'll see where we end up on number 3 pick. Scott, you are up next, my friend.
Oh, man. I between these two, it's so hard to pick.
All right, you tell us the two, and we'll pick for you.
Well, I know what you're going to pick. Dude, this is... I know what the popular one would be to pick.
Okay.
I have to talk about a movie that is very entertaining to me. Who is this about? This is about me. This is my pick, right?
Well, it is, but yeah, you can pick, so we're going to help you. You can phone a friend.
Okay, you guys, Rose, you had two movies that opened with great scenes.
Right.
This movie has the best, closing line that I can think of in any other movie. Okay. It's a little movie that he wasn't really that popular. This guy, Charlton Heston.
Oh. No, he wasn't very popular at all.
Especially in the mid-70s.
Monkeys didn't like him.
No. Okay, now there are two movies that could have really, really good closing lines, and one of them was actually from the late 60s called Planet of the Apes, but that's not the movie I'm talking about, because that would be the 60s.
Oh, this is true.
He raises
his
fist, and he's being caught, and he says, "Soylent Green is people," and that's it. It's a
great
movie. What a
amazing
thing. You know, a lot of people just went, what? Soylent Green. Soylent Green is a great freaking movie, and it's an interesting take on the future from the 70s, you know.
It was the dystopian era.
Oh,
you know, my favorite scene in there, and this goes to show you where my brain is. Hey, Charlton Heston and Edward G. Robinson are talking, and he brings him a jar of strawberry preserves. He's like, "Do you realize this is black market?"
Yes.
It's like $45 or something like that. I was like, "What? Get out of here."
Yeah, it's a very dark take on the future, actually is supposed to be like, what year is it supposed to take place? I want to say 2017.
You can look it up.
I don't see it. It doesn't say it on the IMDb page.
That sucks. It should. We'll just say 2017.
It's either that or wait.
2022.
Okay.
So,
5 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, it's not a stretch, really. But it is just a really – it's a very dark movie, and everybody is euthanized at the age of 72. And then they – spoiler alert, Soylent Green is purple. People, they are looking for food sources. So when everybody's euthanized at 72 years old, if you live that long, your bodies go into the plant, and this, you know, they convert you into a form of food for the rest of the human race. Which, you know, it was like this big controversy that Charlton Heston had to figure out, because his good buddy Edward G. Robinson is the one that ends up turning that age. I think it's 72. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
He ends up turning that age. And what they do, when they euthanize you, you go into this big dome and you're on this bed. It's really a bizarre.
Oh my God. It's such a beautiful moment. And you hear singing,
like,
and showing.
It's very like comforting music, and they have, you're in this giant dome, and the dome is made up of all these video screens, and it portrays all of your past. So they have, like, they're somehow able to take all of your memories and put them up on the screen so that you can see your life flash before your eyes before they kill you. And then they send you off to
make you into food.
Yeah. So
weren't there different, wasn't there like Soylent Red and Soylent Purple?
Yes. And they were, Soylent Yellow was before that. Mm-hmm. Before the Soylent Green, and Soylent Yellow was actually like a mix between soy and corn, but then they ran out of that because the Earth is so overpopulated that they ran out of these certain food sources. So while they're trying to, you know, kill off all these people when they hit a certain age, so that's what they use for food. It's really gross and disgusting, but the ending scene is the best. That ending line is the best, and Charlton Heston sells it, man.
He does.
He sells it.
He's a good shouter. He's a good proclaimer. Fist in the air.
I love Chuck. Yeah, he did the same thing in Planet of the Apes, you know, where he's like slamming his fist into the sand. He's like, damn you. Damn you all to hell.
Yeah. I was actually hoping, like, you know, a big wave would come and, you know, the Statue of Liberty, that's just me. Acting.
The choice of like costume design for this movie is awesome too, because he's still wearing like one of those goofy scarves that they wore in the 60s and 70s. It's like, you know, 50 years later, and they're still wearing those goofy scarves from the 70s. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I know. Well, you know, a scarf never goes out of date. Unless it's knitted, and it's 12 feet long, and, well, I don't know.
Anyway, so that's
excellent pick, Scott. You rock, dude.
I own that DVD, by the way.
You know, I haven't seen that movie in so long.
Do you watch that more than Forbidden Zone?
Yeah, I've seen that many more times than Forbidden Zone. Although I've seen the Forbidden Zone probably, you know, half a dozen times.
And you still need therapy for that. Anyway, so Soylent Green, another movie you picked that I have not seen.
Okay.
So, you're fine. But the thing is that your description of it, I'm more sold on that than I am Poseidon Adventure. Like, I'm now more excited to see Soylent Green than I am Poseidon Adventure.
Now, I'm going to give you a little tip here.
Okay.
Poseidon Adventure moves a little faster than Soylent Green.
I'll agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a sleeper.
It isn't action-packed. It's like a mystery, though, but the build-up at the end is what you're waiting for. It's the payoff at the end. That's what you're really waiting for. So
there's a lot of suspense in it.
And it's a controversy. It's like a conspiracy theory type thing.
Yes.
Like he suspects this weird thing is going on when they get rid of these, you know, when they kill off these people, there's something going on. So nobody knows that the Soylent Green is people until he exposes them at the end. That's the whole. Right. That's like the
and
whole.
He doesn't even know, and then it dawns on him.
He doesn't even know it. He doesn't even
know.
And
he drops, and he's like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah, and then he's trying to expose them, and that's when he's on the chase, and that's like the last 10 minutes of the movie.
I'll edit in a spoiler alert thing here, so no worries. Oh.
Come on, it's 1973.
So what you're telling me is I'm watching this movie. It's an hour 37 minutes. I pretty much got to invest like an hour and 20 until it's good.
No. You should watch. You know, it does build and
it does. It takes a minute.
Let's see.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's boobies.
Oh.
Okay.
Is it as good as duck boobs? Talking Howard here. All right.
That's the 80s.
Yeah, we're not there yet. I gotcha.
Right. Yeah, what's her name? Leigh Taylor Young.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what else she did, but.
Okay.
Duh.
All right.
She was hot in that moon.
All right, so then that is your third pick. What is Rose's third pick?
Well, I've just been vacillating back and forth. I'm just really – I thought I had a solid – I may just use it for honorable mention. There's just too many good ones. Mm. I forgot how exciting 70s movies had become.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go back and revisit. But I remember one of my, you know, and of course, seeing it in the theater is always, you know, the best way to do this. And I can't remember when I saw it because I don't think I saw it when it first came out, did I? I don't think I did. I think it was a couple years later. Because I remember giggling at the sexual innuendos and thinking, oh my goodness, this movie is going to be amazing. And I don't remember going with an adult, so I didn't have to go with an adult. Was it with my friend? Maybe with my brother. I don't know. Anyway, so it was, I can't believe it was the same year. It says it's the same year as Blazing Saddles, which is weird. But I could have swore Young Frankenstein came out like
oh my God.
A bit after that. And just the whole premise of the movie just had me. I mean, you had me at young.
So that's your pick is Young Frankenstein?
That's my third pick is Young Frankenstein.
That was the one I was going back and forth between Soylent Green and Young Frankenstein. I'm not kidding. I'm like, oh my God, these are two great movies. How do I pick this? Thank you for bringing it up because, oh, that's awesome. Awesome.
It's just, you know, everything about it was memorable. To this day, I mean, it doesn't lose any luster. I think I saw it last year for Halloween. I have certain holiday movies that I watch on a regular basis. And I like watching, in Halloween, I like watching the hella old, like Bela Lugosi and Lon Chaney and stuff like that. I get those out of the way first. And then, you know, my fourth pick is another 70s Halloween, which I can never seem to find on Netflix anywhere. You always have the second and the seventh one, but they never fucking
the first one.
So, yeah, I'll just have to buy it. But, yeah, so Young Frankenstein was just, you know, I'd seen Blazing Saddles, and it's just like, okay, Mel Brooks, he's got something here. I don't know what it is, but he's really good at spoofing things and making people laugh. So to watch that and be, like I said, I was raised in this very restrictive home by my grandmother, You didn't talk about certain things. You had body parts, but no one ever acknowledged them. It was just one of those, you know, restrictive Catholic upbringings. So when they get to where they're going, I mean, this is what made me giggle, and they're at the castle, and he's like, what a great set of knockers.
What and knockers?
Like, thank you, doctor.
Bisexual. Yes.
I laughed so hard. It's like I was embarrassed and I was laughing. But, you know, it just took off from there. Just it just never got old. And just, you know, Gene Wilder and Terry Garr and the amazing Cloris Leachman, Frau Blücher, and the horses would raise up. Oh my God. Just, it was top notch. Just the fact that they did it in black and white, that impressed me the most. I was so glad because I don't want to imagine what that looks like in color.
Yeah.
Because that would be a travesty to me. It really would be.
I think the travesty with this show is that everybody keeps bringing up movies that I haven't seen.
Oh my God! You have
shut up!
You're joking. You're totally joking.
I am messing with you, definitely.
Okay, you're totally joking. Yeah. On this one. Yeah,
yeah. There's no way you could not have seen this one. We've geeked out about Abby Normal.
Abby.
Before. Yeah.
Yeah, that was another one. Abby Normal.
Abby.
Yeah.
Abby Normal.
Marty Feldman. Yeah. I was just talking about him the other day. It's just, you know, somebody said. They knew somebody that had like Gates disease or something like that. Or, oh, that's what she said. She's like, my eyes are like popping out of my head like I had Gates disease. And I went, is that what Marty Feldman had? She's like, who? And I went, never mind. Disease that causes your eyes to bug out of your head.
Yes. Is that Gates or Graves? I thought it was Graves disease.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's Graves disease. Anyway, who?
Might
whatever.
Be Graves disease. That sounds whatever. A lot better. Gates yeah. disease doesn't sound good. Either.
So
Scott, wasn't the hump on the other side? Never mind.
What hump?
I have a hump.
He's going to be very popular with the girls.
Dude, this, okay, this movie is absolutely hysterical throughout the whole thing. It's like it's nonstop. From the beginning to the end, it's hilarious. Peter Boyle is awesome as the monster. Like you said, Marty Feldman's hysterical. Madeline Kahn in incredible. Cloris Leachman is one of my favorite actresses. She cracks me up in just about everything I've seen her in. Terry Garr. Her early stages of her career. She was very young in this one. And it's such a great story. It's such a funny twist on the classic Frankenstein's monster story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And he's having a nightmare. It's his destiny.
Destiny. Yeah.
I think it's the only way for me or something like that.
Yeah, and even that.
Having a nightmare.
And then that inspector that kept showing up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Inspector Kemp.
He wore an eye patch, but he had the monocle over on top of it. Yeah, it was good stuff.
It's the little things, the little minute.
And he had, like, a fake hand.
Yeah.
And he gets twisted.
And they were playing darts, and he like.
Putting on the Ritz, baby. Putting on the Ritz. When you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Put on the Ritz!
That was good.
Well, I've just got one word for you.
What?
Sedative?
Sedative? As in sedative?
Sedative.
That was, man, good pick, Rose. Thank you so much for bringing it up. It really is one of the best ever. I love, you know, I like a lot of the Mel Brooks movies, and like you said, Blazing Saddles, you know, kind of set the stage for it. But
it did.
For his lunacy, which would eventually bring us
better.
Oh yeah, I mean, it would eventually bring us to Spaceballs. I mean, come on.
My favorite's Robin Hood Men in Tights. If you get further into his career,
really, that one's low. That's much lower on my list.
Yeah,
History of the World.
History of the World Part One.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another good one.
Piss Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, Piss Boy. Yes. It's good to be the king.
So where are we at? We're on my third pick.
Where's you? Number three, buddy. Right.
Number three. Yeah, I teased Pete's Dragon before, and there's another one that's kind of blaring that I gotta give some love to, so I can't go Pete. So Pete's Dragon's just gonna have to wait for another 70-something podcast, I think.
Okay, let me interject for a second.
Okay.
We need to do a 70s Disney show. Because there's so many great Disney movies from the 70s. So that's just one of them. Peach Dragon is just one of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look up who the what company put this movie out, but there's a movie called Chomps.
Hmm.
I'll
have to look that one up. Anyway, that's off topic. That
simultaneous shooting.
I don't know if you guys seen it or not, but it's about a robotic dog. It was one of those kid.
I have.
But and it had to be the '70s. Anyway, so my third pick, and this is going to be one that's just on the nose. And for some reason, something was happening where in the late '70s, I got in my young brain that I thought the trucker lifestyle was cool.
And there
was two movies that really showcased this and kind of made this love affair of, you know, being a long distance truck driver, you know, as a career, as being something cool. Now, one of the movies that I really loved was Convoy, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. The movie that's on the nose, Smokey and the Bandit.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Smokey and the Bandit, you know, and we just cannot stop this conversation without giving some love to the Bandit, Sheriff Justice, Cletus, Frog. You know, I mean, such a fantastic movie. Burt Reynolds just being your egotistical, wonderful person that, you know, he thought he was. And it was just a great vehicle for him to just be.
It was. I like Burt Reynolds.
No other way to put it than just him being Burt.
You be you, Bert.
And you can pull it off. And such
a good pick.
And there's so many great, funny things. In looking at just Jackie Gleason's scene, the one scene that just pops out in my mind every time I think of this movie is the one where there are the kids that are on the side of the road and they're trying to steal the parts from the car. And he, like, says, well, you can think about leaving, but don't you do it. And then, like, he pulls off to go chase the bandit, and, like, they're like, all right, he's gone now, we can leave. And he goes, well, you do what you want to, but I'm staying right here. And I just love that scene. It was just, and Jackie Gleason was classic. Just class act, just wonderful actor. And the whole ensemble of this cast, you know, from Burt, Jerry Reed, you know, the soundtrack was awesome for me as a kid. You know, mm-hmm. I loved Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down, baby. Yeah.
You know, and even the dog, Flash. Was it Flash?
the Basset Hound?
Yeah. Was it the dog's name?
Yeah. I think it was Flash, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. The Basset Hound being called Flash, yeah. That totally makes sense.
I wonder if it's under the cast.
The dog?
Yeah. You can just Google it. What was the name of the dog and PJ and the bear? See?
PJ and the bear. Okay, 70s movies, Rose, not TV shows.
I know.
Jeez. Everybody's looking to see what the name of the dog, aren't we?
Yep. Can't find it.
I ain't looking.
No, I was looking at the trivia for Smoking the Bandit. And I'm just
I believe it is Flash. I'm pretty confident that you're right about that. Yeah.
Oh, the Trans Am used for the bridge jump was completely wrecked after the successful jump.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, not we surprised. got the dog's name wrong. Ready?
What is it?
What?
Fred.
Ah. Oh.
Fred.
All right. Sorry, everybody.
That's okay.
Fred, the Basset Hound dog from Snowman's Pet, was personally picked by Burt Reynolds, chiefly because it refused to obey commands.
Love it.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of great classic cars out there and muscle cars and all that, but I've told Chrissy this a couple times. If I was going to have one of those classic cars, I'm telling you, the Bandit's car would be it. That Firebird, there's something special about that black with that gold Firebird on the hood. Oh man, that is really, really a cool car. That is awesome.
So, remember the license plate?
I don't.
Nope.
Bandit? BANONE. Ban 1.
Bandit 1?
Yeah. So it's BAN space ONE.
Hmm.
Yeah, I figured they'd be able to put Bandit all in, like, together, but for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Smokey and the Bandit, was that something that you watched a lot, Rose?
No, I think I probably saw it in the theater one time.
One time? So, wow. Throughout your whole life, you've only seen Smokey and the Bandit once.
Well, I watched the second one.
Yeah, not so good.
No.
Yeah, that was not as good as the first one. One time.
No. But
second
no,
one,
I've never.
The second one was the one with the elephant, right?
Mm.
I don't know.
Yes, that is an elephant from Florida to Texas.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one didn't do much for me. So you had to stick with the original.
The original was...
Well, yeah.
The original was the cool one.
Yeah.
I mean, you're transporting Coors here, you know, across the Mississippi, because anything east of the Mississippi was... you had to be less than 5.5% alcohol by volume, and Coors or something along those lines. I don't know the exact number, but you had to. It wasn't allowed east of the Mississippi, and they brought it from Colorado. Of course, Coors being brewed in Colorado. So that was That was like the whole theme of the movie, but nobody ever remembers that part of it.
Now, did you remember? They just remember it, or did you? Or you like on IMDb right now, and you had it up?
No, that's what I remember.
No, he probably remembered that.
I remember that.
Nice.
No, I've watched it a few times. No, it's a classic movie. And I will say, this was one of my wife's picks, because we were talking about this earlier, and she authorized me to discuss this, to talk about the conversation that we had. Now. Nice. I'm going to kind of go on a little tangent of her picks. And this is this one. And she also mentioned Convoy as one of her picks, which is funny.
Wow.
Which you mentioned that. And I'm like, that is the best. That is awesome pick, honey. She, she said she loved those movies, the trucker movies. because there is, when she was a little girl, there was two things she wanted to do. Now, she authorized me to say this. She either wanted to be a truck driver or a hooker.
Oh!
And the reason she wanted to be a hooker was because they're always pretty and that everybody loves them. Or a truck driver.
Diseases too, Chrissy.
Oh, that's funny stuff. She was cracking me up earlier tonight when we were talking about this. But yeah, so she was like Smokey and the Bandit. She's one of her favorite movies of all time. And she's like, you know, my parents didn't let me see a lot of, you know, like edgy movies. And we're like, well, we're talking about transporting illegal alcohol, you know, across state lines, and they're being chased by cops, and it's this, and Sally Field just left her groom at the altar, and, you know, and Burt Reynolds picks up this hitchhiker and just takes her, and they go, and they're, I mean, it's it's like, well, her parents said, you know, they try to, you know, shelter her from a lot of the bad influence movies, yet here we are transporting booze, running away with a bride that's, you know, or getting going, leaving your husband at the altar or whatever. It's just crazy. So, yeah, it's funny stuff. Anyway, yeah. I love this pick. It's a great pick.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, I just, I couldn't let this 70s discussion go by without giving some love to Smokey and the Bandit.
Come on, you got Bert the Stash.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. It was so funny. I was watching this movie. It's actually not a movie. It's a TV series on Netflix called Grace and Frankie. And
What's her name? Jane Fonda and
Fonda and Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin.
And Jane Fonda's love interest at this juncture is Sam Elliott. And her ex-husband is standing behind her while she's reading his profile on Facebook. They don't really tell you it's Facebook, but you know it is. Mm-hmm. They call it social media. And he's like, wow. He said, he's a good looking guy. And she's like, yeah. He goes, you know, there's only 10 people in the world that can pull that mustache off. And he's 9 of them. So yeah, Bert could rock the stash. Definitely.
Oh yeah. I only wish I could grow a mustache like that.
Yeah, me too.
That's good stuff, Rose.
This is an interesting trivia bit. It's about 1,100 miles from Atlanta to Boston one way. To get there and back in 18 hours would require an average speed of about 120 miles per hour.
No, wait, Atlanta to Boston. So that wasn't the Coors that they were hauling.
Well, yeah, that's what it says in the IMDb.
Atlanta to Boston, really? Yep. So they were already east of the Mississippi. Where did I get this information?
I don't know.
No. Maybe they're referring to the end of the film when they're sending him to go get clam chowder.
Oh.
So it was the double or nothing bet from Big and Little Enos. You know, that they're like, well, how about if we get some clam chowder to go with our beer? And it's like, all right, you got it. And then, yeah, like 18 hours. And so I think maybe that was the reference to that.
Nice.
All right. Okay, yes, so, I was right. It is Coors. Okay.
Okay.
Bootlegged. Bootleg Coors beer in 38 hours or less.
Nice.
All right, so that's our picks for the 1970s.
I know.
And I could actually go on with another three picks.
Oh my god!
Very easily.
I could. Totally.
Oh gosh! Can we
and,
just
hey,
like, run through?
Why don't we
really
just do
quick,
a,
like,
no,
five?
No. Look, what? We should do a part two. We should do another podcast and just make a part two because, or even continue on from there because it's just there's if we start mentioning movies. We're going to be able to go on and on and on because I have a whole nother list of movies that we need to talk about from the 70s. Seriously. Logical. We need to like like we could do, we could easily do a 3-hour podcast on this. It's already been.
We've already done a 2-hour one.
Yeah. Almost 2 hours.
Almost 2 hours so, now. Okay, so you're right.
So fine. We don't do that. That's whatever. And then, so you got to do Chrissy's picks. I get to do Richard's picks.
Okay, do Richard's. Talk about Richard's real quick. Oh,
Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to say, Dave?
No, that's
no. I was going to say Chrissy only had one other pick, and that was Close Encounters. So go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to mention that one too.
Oh,
that
really?
Was my honorable mention. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's okay. So that could be on the next one. So Star Wars.
Let's hear it. Come on. Oh.
Yeah, I know. Richard. Star Wars. It was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, nice.
And something else that I can't remember.
So did you write them down?
No, of course not. I was actually going to try and remember them. So I'll just say Rocky.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah, good pick.
Yep. There you go.
All right.
3.5.
So we got to do a part two to this then, yes. Most definitely. But I don't think we're going to do that as episode two though, because we've got to do.
Yeah.
We'll continue it later.
Yeah, continue
it later. We definitely got to hit some other topics, but this has definitely got to be continued down the road. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I almost think that the idea of going through and hitting, you know, a top three or movies to talk about for each year. I mean, we'll end up hitting these movies as we go through those too.
That is true.
So either way, you know, it works either way because I mean, we could, you know, look at it as a whole decade or we can go year by year. And if we do year by year, I mean, you start thinking about it, you know, we're going to have, you know, 30 shows at the end of that.
Easily.
Pretty much.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, you do, you know, you start doing the same kind of thing for maybe music albums and TV. Next thing you know, we're 100 episodes in to Bonsai Retro Club.
Ah. Uh-huh.
At least. Anyway, just an idea. We'll float that one out there and see where it goes. This is episode one. Bonsai Retro Club, 70-something. And once again, I am Dave, and online we do have Scott and Rose. You know, as we've said for episode zero, kind of what I thought was a good way to make sure that everybody stays in contact with us is just go to the website, because the website's going to have all of our links of how to find us and stay in contact with us. It's got the email, it's got the Twitter, it's got the Tumblr, it's got the Instagram, which I'm slowly getting better at. you know, it's a learning progress. The Facebook, so all of those links are there. So just bonsairetroclub.com. And, you know, we're going to try to make this stuff interactive. We want you to go there. We want you to look at the blogs that we're going to be posting. We want you to interact. We want you to add comments to that stuff. We want you to join the mailing list. We want you to, you know, if you're feeling generous, join the Patreon. You know, eventually this podcast thing will end up on iTunes. We're not there yet, but maybe by the time you're listening to this, we are. And if we are, you know, there's going to be this subscribe option. There's going to be the review option. We want you to take advantage of that. We want you to say, hey, this is cool. Tell your friends. You know, if you have your friend has an iPhone, go there and put a rating and review for us, even if you've already done it. You know, it would be like the great state of Illinois. You get to vote often. you know, it's one of those things that, you know, whatever way you want to interact with us, we want to hear it. We want to hear from you. We want to hear that you like what we're doing, you don't like what we're doing, you want us to do less of sphering, whatever. We'll take that input and, hopefully do something with it. If not, we'll tell you to, I don't know, leave us alone. Who knows?
Wait, did you say less? Did you say less sphering?
I only had
one drink all night long.
That's good.
So, you know, did I forget to say anything?
It wasn't a small drink.
I don't think you forgot to say anything other than we appreciate our listeners, and we heart you very much, and we thank you for keeping us in your ear canals, because without you, we would just be a bunch of grown people talking a bunch of shit and nobody listening. So
this is a good
that's
point.
A yeah. I'm having fun.
I'm having fun.
No matter how many listeners we have, I'm having a blast just talking to you guys. This is a good time. So
this is great.
Although I do want, you know, I want to be able to share this with a lot of people and them to enjoy all of this too. This and be able to reminisce and remember all these great, great movies and all these great music and 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever era you love. We're going to talk about it and have a blast doing it.
Yeah, we're just at the beginning of this big, bad animal, and it's just going to be just a great time.
Absolutely. Tip of the iceberg.
Yep. As I wanted to kind of adopt some sort of parting phrase, you know, for lack of having something else to say, be excellent to each other.
Party on, dude.
Stay groovy, people.
Stay groovy. Good night.
Later.
Good night.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Well, that was just, like, long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how, you can't, there's no way around it though. I mean, unless we just do one pick each. Cause we were almost an hour in at one pick each.
Yeah, that is true. It took us a while to get through Star Wars and Saturday Night Live and Enter the Dragon.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You had three pretty.
I actually changed my last one the last minute. I didn't want it to fall off the radar. Yeah. Everybody's having such good picks, and you know, I know it's not really a popular movie with a lot of people because of the content, but I was going to use Willard as my last pick.
Willard? Like the rat?
Yeah.
That's a great pick.
Well,
now, see, that's a great, that's kind of a great, that's a good
Michael
obscure,
Michael Jackson was in it.
It's a very good obscure movie. I mean,
yeah.
So, you know, but
saying
you know,
the song Ben, I mean, yeah. That was like, that's like a whole story right there. So there was like no way I'd be able to like just hit and miss that one. Cause that was.
Well, I think we can do so many things. You know, we could just do so many things just in the 70s.
Yeah,
just in the 70s movies alone. Like, we could do all the disaster movies because it was a genre of movies that were just disaster movies that didn't really continue on into the 80s. Like, they didn't have that same type of feel like a Towering
because
Inferno.
The 80s was the era of the Brat Pack.
Yes, totally.
Took a whole different turn.
And then there were certain
horror Brat Pack and yeah.
And then the horror movies of the 70s were completely different too.
Yeah. So those are the three things that monopolized the 80s. Sylvester Stallone, the Rat Pack, and horror films.
Yeah.
Because that was the era of the slasher film. Because Halloween brought everybody into that in 1978, and then people just ran with it.
Oh, yeah. And they went crazy. So,
definitely.
Anyway, well, look, it's getting late here.
I think I need a private conversation with Chrissy about truckers. I think, you know, we both have an appreciation because I brought up Convoy and Smokey and the Bandit, and, you know, she brought that, and you said she brought that up too, and that was for her, a profession choice like it was mine. You know, I almost think that, you know, her and I could fill a show talking about the trucker lifestyle.
She's going to be very excited to know that you mentioned both of her favorite movies from that 70s. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm still in trouble for not picking the Batmobile for the 80s cars. So anytime I can redeem myself, I guess I should take
it. Yeah, Chrissy did mention that one. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, we're both in hot water over Dirty Dancing. So
Oh, I'm in very much hot water. I never hear the end of that. How could you talk about Patrick Swayze without talking about Dirty Dancing?
Because everybody talks about Dirty Dancing.
Anyway. All right. I got to go. Yeah. It's midnight. It's midnight, Cinderella.
It is time to go to bed.
All right. I'll catch you guys later.
Bye.
All right, guys. Take
care. Bye.